Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, January 21st, Thankful Tuesday. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for God's Word, even though it is wrecking me this week as we read through Genesis and Matthew. I'm thanking the Lord that He is so generous and kind and patient with us. And so as we listen to God's Word together and we read it, may we heed the advice we find in the pages. Today we're reading about, Jacob. I couldn't get that name to come to mind. Jacob getting the blessing. Yesterday, or the day before, I think it is, we read about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I realized we are Sodom, we are Gomorrah, we are unrighteous. Well, today I'm realizing that we can read ourselves into this story as well. Jacob gets the blessing, and we are Jacob. We don't deserve God's blessing, but we get it anyway. Even though we're not the rightful heir, Jesus Christ is the rightful heir, but He shares the blessing with us. Genesis chapter 27, starting in verse 6 through 10, and then we'll skip over to verse 30 through 35. Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you a blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, that he may give you his blessing before he dies." And then from verse 30, "After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, 'My father, please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing.' His father Isaac asked him, 'Who are you?' 'I am your son,' he answered, 'your firstborn, Esau.' Isaac trembled violently and said, 'Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed.' When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, me too, my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing.'" Before we move on, I just want to make a few comments. I know that God could have given a blessing through Abraham to both of the sons, but in this cultural context, one son was named the heir, and the blessing of Jacob was part of God's sovereign plan. In Genesis 25, verse 23, the Lord tells Rebekah that there's two nations in her womb and that the older will serve the younger. And we see this playing out throughout the book of Genesis and the rest of the Old Testament. And Jacob's blessing was a part of God's sovereign plan. And while Esau didn't receive this covenantal blessing, he still was blessed with wealth and strength, and I hope we get to read about he and Jacob reconciling some 20 years later. Because of Jacob's trickery, he has to go on the run, so it's not all pleasantries for him, but when he returns, there will be a beautiful image of forgiving and loving grace. Our second reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This had to be a shocking statement to all of the people that were around Jesus, because they thought that the Pharisees were the elite. They were definitely going to heaven. They practiced all the laws of the Old Testament to a T. But Jesus is getting at something deeper, at the heart that we as the people of God must put the commands and teachings of the scriptures to heart. And we must live them out by being a light to the people around us and by being salty. What does that mean? Well, there are several things it could mean. Here are a few. This can be a reference to the fact that salt is a preservative, that it preserves food, and that we as the people of God should also be about preserving the godly values that we have seen on display in Jesus and in the Bible. It could also be about purification, the idea that salt was used to cleanse wounds, and we too, as Christians, are called to be agents of healing. And then salt makes food taste better. This is one I've been thinking a lot about this week, that I should be a person who makes relationship with God something that is attractive. Like, man, I want to have what she has. And a lot of times I don't live that way. I'm stuck in my own self and worried about silly things that don't matter. My brother said to me this week, I have championship joy. And that's what I want in Christ this week, a championship joy, trusting that God's law is the best for my life and that following Him will bring me joy even in the midst of suffering, and that He will uphold me by His promises to never leave me or forsake me and to provide what I need. Let's end our readings today with Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. Thank you so much for listening along as we read God's word. I'm thankful today for God's word. I'm also thankful that God has power over the king's heart. I'm thankful that God doesn't give up on me. Even when I've lost my saltiness, he can restore it and he can use us, even us, as a light to the world, and that we are like Jacob. We get the blessing because Jesus, the rightful heir, shares his blessing with us. Before we go, let's read over the Bible verse today that we're memorizing this week. Does anybody remember what book it's from? The book of John, chapter 1, verse 29. Take some time to write it down today. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Will you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for a person, a place, a thing, and an attribute of God today. And so we lift up to you that person for whom we give thanks. Bring to mind even now a place that we are thankful for. Help us to be mindful of the little graces and gifts that you give us. Help us to see them now, Lord, and we give you thanks for them. And we want to end thankful for your character as Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And in Jesus, we see you, the true light. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.